came back to see me this week and stayed, and I have a cold. And I don't know how long I'm going to be able to preach without losing my voice, but I don't want to get your hopes up. But we'll just see how long I can go. I don't know, maybe I can go all the way till the start of the Super Bowl this afternoon. I don't know. And give everybody plenty of time to cook the meat and all that kind of thing. As I said earlier, spent a Sunday preaching to you about the importance of prayer a few Sundays ago, challenging you to develop a consistent and powerful prayer life in 2023. And in that message, I talked about the importance of prayer. I also talked about the public and private aspect of prayer. We talked about the priority of prayer that should be in our lives, and also we talked about the benefits of prayer. I think we can all agree this morning that one of the best things we can do in this new year is to focus on prayer. And as we pray, we need to always have a humble, open heart to God, as well as having an open Bible before us. Prayer and God's Word goes together. But I think while it's important for us to know how essential prayer is, we also need to understand how to pray. How do we pray? So today I want to circle back and talk about prayer and how we should pray and where do we go to learn how to pray. Have you ever thought about, as a believer growing up, where did you learn to pray and how did you learn to pray? And from whom did you learn to pray? I think I trace back my learning to pray all the way back to our dining room table in our home. As we would gather for a meal, we would pray over our meal. We would pray over the day. We would pray about different things. Had the opportunity to hear my father especially pray over and over again through my life. And I had the opportunity to hear my mother pray. Had an opportunity to hear my big brother pray. Didn't learn much from him. He's probably going to see this and give me a hard time. But I learned to pray from my parents in a lot of ways. But one of the things that really stands out to my education in prayer is a church service on Wednesday nights that we would always gather as a church on Wednesday nights, and that was the prayer night. But it was not only the prayer night, it was also the night that you had a Bible study. And then that was followed by a season of prayer. And it was at those Wednesday evening services and during those seasons of prayer following Bible study that I think I learned a lot about how to pray by just listening to the men and women that came to that service and how they prayed. As everyone knelt where they were and one after the other would stand to their feet and begin to pray and to begin to talk to God. A lot of those prayers were prayed in the King James English. Oh Lord, thou art so wonderful. And they prayed like they read scripture a lot of times. But one of the things that stood out to me was how everybody else would join in on the prayers. As they were hearing their neighbors and their friends pray, you would hear folks say quietly something like, "Yes, Lord," or they would say, "Amen, Lord," or they would say, "Please, please do this, Lord." I learned a lot from that. But one of the things that really stood out to me for those seasons of prayer is it seemed like no matter how every person prayed and what they prayed for and the type of language they used in praying, they were always praying to an audience of one. and that was God. We just had the opportunity to be in on it and to hear it and to be blessed by it. I learned how to pray from those who took time to pray for me and around me and with me. I had friends that I learned to pray from. I had, like I said, my parents, Sunday school teachers who would pray during class time, mentors that I would meet with, other pastors that I would pray with. That's how I learned to pray. And maybe you can identify some people in your own life, even in your family, where you say, you know, I learned how to pray from that person. I learned how to pray. I think what we need to understand is that learning to pray is more than just learning to say words, but it's learning to come into the presence of God and realizing that as you talk, you're having a conversation with God and with no one else. And that though sometimes when we pray in public, we may be nervous, wondering what we're going to say, yet God is there, willing to receive whatever we say. So we can learn to pray in lots of different ways, but the most important way to learn to pray, I believe, is to learn from Jesus himself. And the disciples put a premium on learning to pray from Jesus. There's two places in God's Word that we see the pattern prayer, the Lord's Prayer recorded. There's Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6. Luke's account of the prayer has more context but less detail. It's more of a summary of what Jesus Christ said in the prayer, pray this or pray that. Matthew is a more detailed part of the prayer but has less context. Notice that in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Luke records these words of Jesus in the model prayer. He records the words, Father, your name be honored as holy. In other translations, the word hallowed be thy name is there. Matthew includes those words, our Father in heaven, your name be honored and holy. So Matthew and Luke both want us to understand that the Father is who we're praying to, and his name is holy and honored. But Matthew lets us know where our prayers, what location our prayers are aimed, is to the Father in heaven. Luke chapter 4 also talks about where Jesus says, your kingdom come. Matthew adds more to it in his account of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Gospel of Luke, records that Jesus said, give us each day our daily bread. And Matthew says, give us today our daily bread. That's pretty much the same. And then later on in Luke records that he prays, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. Matthew puts it this way, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then the final part of the Lord's Prayer is Luke just simply records, and do not bring us into temptation. But Matthew adds more to it. He says, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Matthew gives us more details. Luke gives us more context in that he tells us the context of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray was because one of the disciples had overheard him praying and had asked him, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And so Jesus takes advantage of doing that. Jesus wants us to learn to pray. And Jesus wants us, just as the disciples did, to know how to pray. Was Jesus giving us the Lord's Prayer Was he giving us this prayer for us to memorize and recite every time we're called upon to pray in public? Well, there's nothing wrong with memorizing this prayer. I don't think there's anything wrong with us as believers every once in a while to join hands. We can't do that. We can. COVID's over. Join hands and recite the Lord's Prayer. That can be a very meaningful time. But it's like any other thing that we do over and over and over again in a worship service. It can become very ritualistic, and we can forget the meaning of the words and what it really means. I don't believe God intended for this prayer to be the only prayer we pray. But I think he intended for this prayer to guide us and be a pattern for us to be able to sit down before God and talk to him about different things that are going on in our life. And so it's not merely a prayer for a ritual's sake. It's not something that this is the only prayer we can ever pray, but it's something that guides us as we come into God's presence and begin to talk to him. Jesus is trying to teach here his disciples, here are the kinds of things I want you to think about when you come into my presence. These are the kind of things that as you pray about them, I will hear them. I will listen to them. And these are the kinds of things that as you pray about them will help you. Now, what I want us to do this morning is just look at the Lord's Prayer and see what Jesus is saying. Here's what I want you to say. Here are the things I want you to keep in mind when you come into my presence to have a conversation with me. First thing we notice is that when we pray, we should address God personally. Address God personally. Isn't it, does it strike you as not ironic, but maybe strange or just awesome that here Jesus is telling his disciples, look, when you want to talk to my Father or when you want to talk to God, he's my Father. Just come to him and say, Father. We call him Father on the basis of his Son Jesus and what Jesus has done in our lives. And when we come to God to have a conversation with him, to pray with him, it is a family type of conversation. It's a conversation like a daughter to a father or a son to a father. And that's what Jesus is getting at here, is that when we come to talk to God, let's come to God an understanding that what we're about to do is something that's going to be intimate, personal, and family-oriented, because we come to God and we come to him and we address him as a father. Scripture says, our Father, which art in heaven, that's one of the translations, hallowed be thy name. You see, when we understand where God really is and how we can truly address him and how he wants to relate to us, changes the whole nature of prayer in our life when we understand that God wants us to look at him as our Father, the creator of the universe, the omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful God, the one that we could come up with all sorts of titles for him. And then when it comes right down to it, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, look, you can talk to God anytime. And so the disciples sit back, and maybe we sit back and well, what do we call him? We'll just call him Father. Just call him Father. That should communicate to us what prayer is really all about. It is a family conversation. It's a personal conversation. And then also when we look at this model prayer, we see that when we pray, we need to acknowledge God's holiness. So on the one hand, we are very familiar with him. We call him Father. But on the other hand, we also say, hallowed be thy name. We also say, you deserve all honor and all glory. You see, what we need to understand is that that's the balance in our relationship with God. Our relationship with God isn't to be taken for granted. It's not to be taken in such a way that we can just treat God any way we want to. But it's a relationship where we can come before his presence and call him Father. But at the same time, as we honor him, we're coming and celebrating his holiness. We understand that there's something very special about who God is, and that this holy God also expects us to be holy as well and wants us to thrive for that holiness. And so when we come into his presence and we talk to him, we not only address him as Father, but we also acknowledge that he is a holy God. And when we do that, we're saying, God, we realize that you are a God that's set apart from everything else. You're just not another, you're just not another hobby in my life. You're just not something else about my life that I want to pay special attention to. No, you're a holy God that deserves everything I have. You're a God that is pure, that you're perfect, that you're righteous, that you're full of love, that you are a faithful God, that you are omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. You see, praying begins by us focusing our attention on God, who he is, and what he's all about. And if we ever come to God and suppose that we pray, we need to understand and ask ourselves after we pray, did I have an understanding as I prayed to my Father today that I was praying to a holy God that expects me to be holy as well? Or did I just take for granted that, oh, the old man listened to me and I spent a few minutes to placate him? Is that our attitude sometime? That's not the way we address a holy God. You see, it's all about us coming into his presence, addressing him as Father, but then also accepting the fact that he has authority over us. When we say, our Father who art in heaven, that's not just identifying the location of where God is. God is everywhere. He's always around us. But it is an acclamation. It is an acceptance that God is in heaven. He is authoritative. He is in authority. I think the psalmist understood this better when he wrote in Psalm 115, verse 5, our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases. Now, I don't know about you, but if God is a holy God, he does whatever he pleases, I want to make sure that when I talk to him, I talk to him in the right way and I address him in the right way and that I don't take anything for granted. I want to make sure that I come into his presence and acknowledge his holiness, and as well as acknowledging that personal relationship that God said we could characterize as being a fatherly relationship. And that's important when we come to pray. So when you pray, address God personally, acknowledge the holiness of God, but also when you address God, ask that his kingdom will come and his will be done. Now, one of the things we need to understand about what Jesus Christ is saying here is that sometimes in prayer, there's more than just coming into God's presence and acknowledging who he is and addressing him as Father. But when we come into God's presence and we begin to talk to him, God wants us to know, God wants us to affirm where we stand with him. And are we coming into his presence? Are we coming into his presence wanting our kingdom to come? Or are we wanting his kingdom to come? Or are we coming into presence trying to get God to change his will for my will? Are we coming into his presence willing to accept his will for my will? You see, sometimes we forget that as we pray, prayer carries this idea of I'm coming into God's presence to talk to him, and it demands of me to make a commitment to him to acknowledge that he is God and I am not, to acknowledge the fact that his will is better than mine, and to acknowledge the fact that his kingdom is far superior and far, far preferable than my kingdom is. And so Jesus was saying, when you come into the Lord's presence, when you come to pray, I want you to pray His kingdom come and His will be done. Pray that He will reign and rule in your life. Do you know that anytime you pray and you come before God to pray and to talk to Him, if you leave that prayer time and He is not reigning and ruling in your life, it really wasn't a prayer time. Because prayer should always result in God ruling and reigning in your life. And we should always pray, God, not only rule and reign in my life, but rule and reign all around me, in my community and in my neighborhood, in my city, in my nation, in my state. We need to pray that His will be done, even as it is in heaven. We need to seek His kingdom and not our own. We need to allow His will to work and be accomplished around us and in us and through us. It's kingdom focused. So here we see that what Jesus is saying to His disciples, when you pray, be God focused, be kingdom focused. And then when you pray, tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. Now, does God know what we need before we tell Him? Yes. He knows everything. But you see, when I come to God and tell Him what I need, that is my way of acknowledging that He is the provider. And I receive from Him those needs. You see, God wants us to depend on Him. And one way we demonstrate that is in our prayers. We come into His presence. Someone has said what Jesus is really trying to picture here is come into His presence, acknowledge God and who He is and His holiness, and address Him God as God the Father, and pray for His kingdom to be done, to come, and His will to be done. And this, tell Him your needs. That is, crawl up into the Father's lap and just say, Lord, this is what I need today. I need strength today. I need an understanding heart today. I need some comfort, God, about a situation that's going on in my life. I need some healing for some hurt that is really getting to me. Father, I need a friend today. I need someone to help me. I need someone to walk alongside of me. Notice that Jesus is saying, ask for your daily needs. And we need to understand that God is willing to give us what we need. He wants us to come and ask Him for that. But also, when we pray, not only do we ask for our daily needs, but Jesus is saying, come in an attitude of confession and a desire for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. That means that we come in this idea of humility. We come asking for cleansing and forgiveness in our life. We come being receptive to God's mercy, grace, and love. We come with a repentant attitude, understanding that there's some things in my life that I need to turn away from and some things that I need to turn to. We come to God with a full disclosure of all those things that we need to experience forgiveness from. What we need to understand when we come to God in prayer is that clinging to sin and seeking His kingdom does not go together. Doesn't go together. In this prayer, you can come into God's presence and say, oh God, bring your kingdom. And sometimes we don't know what we're asking, because if God brought His kingdom right then and there because of sin in our life, it would destroy us. And one of the things we need to pray is, God, forgive me and help me to forgive those who have done aught toward me. You cannot cling to sin and seek the kingdom. It does not go together. It's coming into God's presence and inviting His searchlight on our lives and to show us those areas that we need cleansing from and that we need his presence to come and bring us back. But also, Jesus says here, when we pray, be sure you have a forgiving heart. Father, forgive me for my sin. But then Jesus said, but don't forget. Don't forget to also pray to forgive those that have offended you. You see, we need to understand that our forgiving others is a work of God in our lives. If we can hold grudges against one another and never forgive one another, that means that God more than likely is not working in our life. It also means that when we come to pray, there is something short-circuiting in our prayer life that is not quite getting the job done. We can't come to this forgiveness ourselves. Complete forgiveness for everyone that we owe a debt to is only something God can do in our hearts. Those who are willing to forgive others show that they have been truly forgiven themselves. So I want to ask you a question this morning. When you pray, has God ever touched your heart and say, you know, there's somebody you're holding something against. You haven't really forgiven them. And then you refuse to deal with it. You refuse to forgive. Really what we're saying is that we're not willing to forgive others. It shows that if we're not willing to forgive others, it shows that we have not truly forgiven them. And then the last thing I want us to see here is that when we pray, Jesus said, ask for protection from temptation. The Gospel of Matthew said, deliver us from evil. Both Luke and Matthew said, do not bring us into temptation. I don't know about you, but a lot of times my temptation is not something that just happens. It's usually something that I've pursued. And I try to characterize it as something that just happens to me. But what we need to understand is this is a prayer that we all need to pray. This is an attitude we all need to have before God, is God, protect us from the temptation. Deliver us from evil. God must give us what we need to overcome evil. We can't do it by ourselves. Only God alone can give us strength to overcome our shortcomings. I think that's why we need to always emphasize with people who are suffering from addictions that seem to be insurmountable, and why we always need to emphasize to people who are dealing with strong temptations in their life and constantly falling and then trying to get up on their feet and falling and getting up on their feet. What we need to help all of those people to understand is that you can't do it on your own. You have to have someone to help you. And one of the things we need to understand about the church is we need to be that help. We can't help them without the Holy Spirit also working in their life and working in what they're doing. The key to overcoming habits and addictions and those kinds of things is coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to be Savior of your life. He's the only one that can rescue you. Jesus wanted to guide his followers into prayer. He wanted them to know how to pray, and he wanted to teach them how to pray. And what we need to do today, if we want to be salt and light in this world, we need to constantly ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it says to us. Father, it's so awesome to think that you want to hear from us and that you want us to talk to you and you want to have a conversation with us. Father, help us to do it in a way that helps us to live stronger lives for you, that helps us to make a difference, not just in your kingdom, but also the kingdoms around us. Father, help us to be those kinds of people who are not just praying and talking about forgiveness, but actually experiencing forgiveness from you, but also giving forgiveness to others that have offended us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would just work in our lives today and help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be and to focus on depending on you. Father, help us to understand that prayer is not just about us, but it's also about you and who you are and all that you want to do in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.